Why do we lose our spiritual enlightenment? In other words, why do we get to this space where the Bible doesn't inspire us like it used to be for some of us, as it could for some of us? And the reason I say that is, it's easy to live a Christian or be in a Christian world, but totally unenlightened about what God wants for you in your life. Totally feel lost and not connected to what is God's purpose for me? What is God trying to do in my life? And just settle for, okay, let's see what happens. And never be connected to a fact of God is real beyond just the conversation, that is real for you. He's really real for you as a person. And you can lose that spiritual enlightenment for different reasons I'll try to get into today. But I do know for sure that if you think of your space today in a Christian sense, you either feel so connected to the Word of God that you feel alive and directed, or you're not sure about how you just feel about your walk with God and how you're connected to God. So as a result, it's a dull space, a place that doesn't inspire you or give you any sense of what is God saying to me. And for some of us, we know how it feels like. We're trying to rekindle that. To you, I say, you don't rekindle that. Go to the new level. You can't keep going back to what it used to be like. That is not coming back to us. You can't keep going back to be, I want it to be like, it's like saying, I'm at 48 years old, but I'm trying to go back to being 16 years old. That's not happening. The only thing that's happening, I'm going towards 60. That is where I'm looking towards to. Amen? So I can't keep trying to go back to, I want to feel like how I felt when I got baptized the first 2 years. Amen? That's a good time. But now how many years you are in Christ is another world you got to go to. If we don't make that decision, we're forever trapped in history, wanting yesterday to replay itself, but we're in another place. And we have to engage God here, this place, with our new challenges, our new troubles, every new things that we're engaging in. If we don't do that well, what happens is then we lose the spiritual enlightenment because we have forever mortgaged our future with what we used to be. But we're here right now. And God is calling us to be connected to this God so that we can be inspired, directed by Him. Let's get into it. For you to begin to be spiritually enlightened, some things need to take place. One, a willingness to grow will get you to pray. For you to start wanting to grow and be connected with God, there must be a willingness, a desire, a decision to, I want to be in a different space where God speaks to me and moves me, and I can touch different people in the process. Why? Because I have made a choice. It's not an accident. I have made a choice. I am willing to begin to move on to another level. Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I mean, David talks about this and says, search me, O God, and find the anxious thoughts in me. To pray that prayer is to come to a place of total surrender and a place of, I know, God, you have the best plan for me. Because I know you have the best plan for me, I am ready for you to search me. Now, God searching you is not a small matter, brothers and sisters. Friends, God searching you is a different ballgame. Because one, He knows who you are. Even before you were formed in your mother's womb, He knew who you are. When He goes into a searching of your soul and your heart, that is a different ballgame. And the story you see in the Bible that describes that very well is the story of Job. And God searches him. Have you considered my servant Job? And God searches Job in a way that I'm not sure we're ready for right now in our lives. Nevertheless, though, you're being searched by God. Not necessarily with sickness and all that stuff, but God is saying, are you willing to surrender so that I may search you? You have to be willing to do that. Let's face it. We are afraid to pray that prayer because we are not ready to let the light of Jesus Christ imbue us totally. There are places in our lives we think, no, that is my place. That's my forte. And it can run in many ways. It says, no, you search me, find anxious thoughts. Question, are you anxious? What are you anxious about? That place is where God needs to come. Your anxiety thoughts, your heart, your mind. That place is where God needs to come so that you can have peace that transcends understanding. What are you anxious about? That place is where you need to surrender to God. It says, point out anything in me that offends you. We like to be perfect, or at least believe to be perfect. And if not, live in the space of nobody should tell me what's going on wrong with me. It's good to know what's going on with you, right? It's good to find out what's going on with you. If you don't do that, how will you correct that? Imagine having money in the account and not wanting to know how much is left behind. You're just spending. But you don't want to know. What will happen to you when you go in the ATM and you do all the buttons, nothing comes out, and it's only the second day of the month. And sometimes we live like that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. No, let God show you. Embrace this aspect of God showing you who you are and turning around and being transformed. You know, as you grow, there's a place where you always think you know stuff. There's that space where you think, I know stuff. And then something happens to you and then you realize, I don't know stuff. I pray that you're coming to that place of, I don't know stuff. Not that you're foolish. No. Get me right. That you've come to a place of humility of, you know what? I don't know everything. God can help me with different stuff. And that place is, it's liberating. It takes the burden of living off you and it brings you to a place of focus on God and surrender, and it's joyous. Not free of problems, but joyous. Not free of problems, but very joyous. Does that make sense? You enjoy that space because God is at work and guiding you and doing the things that you need. You need to be just trusting Him to guide you that this is the way to go with God. When you get to that space, you connect with God. When you're not in that space, you're worried, anxious, and trying to control. You have to be willing. Secondly, spiritual growth can happen in darkness. It's connected to the first story. This is the message we've heard from Him and declared to you. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me hold it there. You and I need to get comfortable with the fact that we're not perfect and comfortable with the fact that we've got sin that we got to deal with. And comfortable with the fact that we need to be in the light. The challenge is that we're so afraid that we let darkness reign sometimes in parts of our lives that God can't help us. It says, this is the message we heard from Him and declared to you, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If you claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not leave out the truth. What is your darkness story? The emotions we carry that control us, our darkness stories. What is it that you feel that you never just let go? that the devil just uses that and you've become a slave to that and you never talk about it and never get help because your concern is, what will people think about me? They still think anyway. Yeah, when you left that, just be, in case you're wondering, when you left your house today, your neighbor must have looked and said, where are they going right now in the morning? They thought about it anyway. They still think anyway. You can never stop what people think because God calls you to make Him bigger than anything around you. And yet we let the environment shape us, mold us to slavery of emotion. Why? Because we'll not come to the light. I have great conversations with different brothers. And sometimes, I have some great conversation with Steve Coyer. We talk about stuff and this is going on. I feel like I come to the light. He comes to the light. We talk with all kinds of people. People come to the light. I'm sharing this because I really feel like we need to learn to come to the light. Coming to the light is not a bad thing. But I have a caveat. Some of us can't come to the light because when the last time you came to the light, you got hurt. You got hurt so hard that you never come into the light again. So I have two conversations I want to make. One to those of you that when somebody comes to the light, you shame and guilt and put them down. You know why you do that? Because you haven't dealt with yourself. So you need to let go of that stuff you got in your heart so that you don't turn around and fight the other guy and say, it's my opportunity to hit them. No, deal with yourself. Then you'll come to Galatians 6. When he's struggling, you'll carry the burden and let them carry their load and walk well with that. Having said to those of us who help out sometimes, to those of us then who give the reason that I'm not coming out because the last time I was hit so hard, I have to stay in the darkness, I say to you that God is bigger than the person that hurt you. And God wants you to get healed so that you can get true relationships and come to a place of knowing. It's not true that because I was hurt, I can't come out to the light. You have to come out to the light because of God. We've done some safe people talking. I hope you're still walking on that staff. Amen. If you don't know what safe people is, find out from those guys that have read about safe people. They'll let you know. So verse 8, if you claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I hate to think I'm deceiving myself. Why would you deceive yourself? Why? Sometimes you're angry and you will not deal with it because you think, I need to be cool. No, you're deceiving yourself because you're the only one that's angry. The rest of us are whistling. We're having a good time. You're like, I'm angry with these people. You're deceiving yourself. Deal with this stuff. Come out and say, here's what I'm feeling. Stop playing to the mold of society and come to the frame of God. We can't deceive ourselves anymore. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. That last part of Scripture is how Christians live. Because we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We confess. We get help. We continue changing and growing. If we act like nothing has ever happened, something's wrong. For some of us, we've hardly talked about our challenges. I'm not talking about sin, just challenges that you need to deal with. Just challenges that we got to learn to talk about so we're getting over that. And I'll show you in a moment why you need to be talking about this. Getting out of the... God can only walk with you when you're in the light, not in darkness. Because in darkness, the devil takes control of how you're feeling and just controls you. Growth happens when you embrace your issues. Let's talk about this for a moment. And then he added, it is what comes from inside the inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lust, desires, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. That we go through stuff, and the way we tackle stuff, we like to say, I'm doing this because Carl made me do that. And I say, well, Carl might be a trigger of what is inside. A trigger of what is inside. In other words, I have a choice how I react, but Kyle triggers these things, and I feel these things, and it's easy for me to say, I am blaming these things on Ben. That I never take responsibility. The Bible says, it is true that these things exist, but you have to embrace where you sit, what is creating that inside you. You may be saying, I am doing these things because my wife said this. Well, you have a choice how you will respond to your wife or to your husband, to your children, to your work situation. You have a choice how you respond to that. It comes from inside. That's why it says it comes from inside. Embracing what is happening makes you think, okay, God, what did you show me? There are many things that I look at my character and I say, yeah, but this happened when this... And I say, well, but that's true. Initially, I'm in the space of I'm blaming the person. Then I said, wait a minute. What does that show about me, though? And when I come to that space, I always end up in the Word of God. Initially, you're all blaming, but at some point, wait a minute. But what does that say about me, though? You're allowed to be in that space for a while. The problem is when you get stuck there and not say, it's coming from inside. Wait a minute, what does that say about me? At some point, you have to embrace and say, okay, it's coming from inside. What needs to happen? Otherwise, forever, you can never change anything because it's all outside. It's all outside, but it says it comes from inside. So there are triggers. Out here, we have triggers. People say things and they make you say, oh my goodness, I felt like that when he said this. What does that say about me? It was not kind of them to say that, but what does that say of me as well? It's not kind of them to say that, but what does that say of me? And then we grow. And then we begin to be more like Jesus Christ. And we begin to tell people about Jesus, and they can say, yeah, you don't just talk about Jesus. You really live like one that believes in Jesus. Because there's a lot of people that talk about Jesus but hardly have a lifestyle to back it. And now it becomes a question. So it's important to ask this question again. Growth happens when you embrace your issues. Excuse me. Is it possible that you've not embraced your issues and you're just pointing away from yourself and never said, this is me! I react like this a little bit. That you have people that trigger you like nobody's business, but you've come to become a victim. Why? Because you will not say, God is bigger than all these issues. And I can choose with God's ways, and I can do this in a godly way. This thing, that can be a co-worker that does that to you. That can be a spouse that does that to you. That can be a relative. Relatives include children to grandchildren. They can do stuff to you and they're like, wait a minute, what's going on with me? Embrace your issues. Then ask yourself, what does that say about me and what is God teaching me about this? That's when growth happens and we become different. And God shows us, you know what? I can help you resolve that. Why? Because I am bigger than your issue. Growth needs connection with the body of Christ. Everything we talked about, you still need this aspect. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 22. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just as he wants it. The context of that is the church and the body of Christ. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. As the church has many members, but we all belong to the body of Christ. The eye can never say to the hand, I do not need you. We cannot say we don't need each other. I'm from a different generation. I don't need you. We need each other. The head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. We cannot say I'm from a different race. I don't need you. We need each other. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest are least important are actually the most necessary. The idea that you don't have a talent to sing or do whatever, you're still important in the eyes of God. But the significant question is, do you have a relationship to the body of Christ? Because then everything else I spoke about earlier, you cannot do because you have no connection. And you don't have a connection because the way we think about society today is we're suspicious of people. Trust is low in society today. And the laws make us behave like that sometimes. The question is this. Do you have a connection with people? If you have no connection, it's become very hard to live as a Christian. If you have no connection, it becomes very hard to tell anyone about God. You see, to build a connection as the body of Christ is relationships. We got to build friendships. So I want to challenge you a little bit today. I'd like to challenge you as a church to start building friendships. I'm not talking about we go to the same church. I'm not talking about we go to the same family group. I'm talking about friendships. We hang out. We talk about the weather. We crack jokes and we get the jokes. Yeah. We know each other's names. We don't get offended because we know, oh, that's my friend. They got a bit of issues going on there. Many of us don't have friends. We have acquaintances. We're very formal. Afraid to connect. And because of that, we have the same mentality at church. We're not connected. We don't connect deeply and talk about things. Now I say that, I said, nobody's talked to me. I'm talking to you. You need to start reaching out to people. And tell them, I need you to be my friend. Can we work out something? Now I can tell you something. You may reach out to 5 people and maybe 3 will turn out good or 2 will turn out good. The rest of the other guys may be okay. Be open to that fact that they may be okay. They won't be your friends as per se. Chemistry doesn't fly with everybody. But we still love each other. Make sense? The maturity to build friendship because of the body of Christ. The maturity to have conversations. That's when healing happens. And then one another conversations can really happen that are changing. Does that make sense? So growth needs a connection with the body of Christ. You will not do it as an island. You need the body of Christ. Having said all that, let's go forward and talk about it. Also takes meditation on God's word. Meditation on God's word spurs growth. Joshua 1 verse 8 through 9 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. He says that you need to think through this. You need to be able to meditate on it day and night so that you can do the stuff that the Bible calls you to do. I mean, how do you practice your faith without ever reading what God wants you to do? And if you don't meditate on it day and night, how do you come to a place of hearing God's voice? Come on, guys. We surely can sit down. How hard is it to just sit down and read and think through what God is saying? How hard is that? Put your phone away. Put your phone away. Don't put your phone next to your Bible because you keep checking. And some of us use the phone for reading the Bible. And each time it bings, you go to the message. And then you go to the message for another 5 minutes. And you come to the Bible for 2 minutes. You go back for 5 minutes. Come back for 2 minutes. What are we doing? Are we meditating on the message or the text? Or are we meditating on the Word of God? Are we on the Facebook? Who's saying what? And we're on Instagram. Who's looking like what? We're not even checking what God is saying about us. By the time we're done reading the Bible, we remember more about the likes than what God said about us. Then we wonder, why do I feel so empty? You never connected to the Word of God and meditate on it. And you say, what does that look like? Put the phone away. Get the Bible in front of you. Start asking God, pray about it. Say, God, I want to hear from you today. I was reading my Bible this morning. I felt good about it, but I had to get to the message. Anyway, back to what I'm talking about. I digress again. The point is, stick with, just get in the Bible and put it down and say, God, I want to hear from you. But what are you going through in your life today? I don't understand how you're going to take, it's like going to take medicine for your tooth when you have no toothache. You really have a headache. Why are you taking medicine for the toothache when you have a headache? So some of us are reading the Bible with that fashion. We're just reading Revelations and we don't even have no need for understanding Revelation. We have a different need. We haven't taken time to look into the scriptures and say, wait a minute, we're not doing the due diligence of thinking and planning it out. We've become lazier on that aspect. We want just to say, well, I read something and I guess that makes me a Christian. We're living in the guilt and shame place. Not love, compassion, grace. It's a different space. A place of God loves me not because of what I've done, but by His grace. But because of His grace, I must do more, not less. You will not do well if you don't meditate on the Word of God. You need meditation. You need to get in there and meditate, and sit down and take time. An hour. You say, I don't have an hour. That's the problem. You need to create 1 hour for you. Well, what time? Then sleep a bit earlier. It'll take a bit of fighting to get to that habit, but start sleeping earlier. Yeah, you need to sleep a bit earlier, and you'll wake up in good time to read the Bible and get in the car and not be frazzled. You get in the car in peace. And when all people are doing silly things on the road, you'll be faithful. And say, God will get us there anyway. Meditation will help you to grow. If you're not doing that, it doesn't happen. So verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You want to believe that. That was not just for Joshua. You want to believe that about you. But that happens when you meditate on the Word of God and question the lies that the devil plants in your soul. What seeds are you sowing? Galatians 6, 6 through 8. Nevertheless, the one who sows, who receives instruction to the word, in the word, should share all good things with the instructor. You know, you're receiving instruction from the word. You're going to be sharing some stuff with people, telling them about God, helping them to know about Jesus, trying to tell them, hey, come to God. Sometimes they say, I'm not active in sharing my faith because you have nothing to tell. You're not getting anything to tell. But then he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. What are you sowing? Whoever sows to please his flesh, their flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. What are you putting down? Let me put it in another way. Every day you're putting something down. Every day. You're putting something down. Some of us put more time on just sitting idle. That's what you're sowing, nothing, so you get nothing. Some of us sow too much on TV and the politics going on TV, and it messes your heart. You're angry with anyone that looks like X or Y, and just makes you sad. That's what you're sowing, so you're getting anger right back. Yeah, some of us sow too much negativity. We just think the world's about to collapse and everything going crazy. So you're getting crazy yourself. You need to sow peace. And you sow peace through the Word of God. You need to sow Jesus in people's hearts and tell them about what God is doing for you. How do you see the world for you? We sometimes see the world as such a bad place. We don't see the opportunity of how God can help them to become Christians. We don't see people as harassed and helpless, and God can bring them to Him. To them, well, how do you see the world? We see the world as they have more money than me. Really? More money than you? That's all you see? A newer car than yours? That's all you see? A bigger house than yours? Is that all you see? And like, I like to make jokes, more hair than mine. That's vanity. People are bigger than this stuff. God is bigger than that stuff. It is possible that you're very unhappy for material things. I want to picture forward. When you're 90, 94, 100, and you're dying, material will not love you. You need it to live. Don't get me wrong. You need the money to live. Don't get me wrong. You need cars to get around. But that stuff will not love you. And when you think about it and you're old and you're on your bed and you're about to close your eyes and to go, you don't think about cars. You don't think about your career so much. You think about it, I spend time with my kids, my spouse, my family. Did I make the right decisions? Am I ready to be okay with God? Am I ready to meet my God? If you don't make those decisions now, they get harder as you get older. So if you're a young person thinking, I'll make that decision before I die, you don't know how you'll go out. That is in the cards of God. You may go out in an accident, you may go out in sickness, but you don't know that. Make the decision because you know God. That is the best thing you can make right now. If you're older and you're dilly-dallying, not being sure what you need to do, you need to deal with the stuff that has held you back for years that creates regret in your life and start growing. But that you will not do if you're not wrestling with God and the right relationships and walking through that stuff. Nobody's perfect. We've got to keep going in this direction. To be spiritually enlightened, it takes a connection with the body, a connection with the Word of God, a connection with people. Then things start to happen. Let me end here. As we become more spiritually mature and increasingly steadfast and immovable, we focus upon and strive to understand the fundamental, foundational doctrines of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're not here, let me say this. Next Sunday, we're going to start to talk about why we need to believe in Jesus, in the Bible, and the resurrection. I highly, highly recommend that you come 10 in the morning to understand these foundational truths that are being challenged by people that have no understanding of who Jesus is. Come in the morning. Hear the Word of God. It may spark you to want to know more. Next Sunday will be great as we do the single Sunday, but come in the morning as we have a great time. God bless you.